Welcome to the Nerds Domain Podcast, where we explore the geeky side of life. This week, we're talking about what's going on in our lives that's geeky and fun. It's time for a Whatcha Doin'?
But your brain, you're in the Nerds Domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Nerds Domain Podcast. I'm Matt, and I am here with Shirley.
Hello.
And we are doing a very special edition of What You Doin'. Before we get into that, though, just an update. You're going to notice this episode came out 2 weeks after the last episode where we talked about Black Panther. We're going to be doing every other week for a little bit until we get our feet underneath us. I'd rather have something coming out than nothing. So this is the schedule we're kind of on right now. Next week, in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about the Royal Tannenbaums for a Criterion Collection. And we'll have Jesse on for that. But tonight, or right now, I don't know, you might be listening in the morning. People listen to podcasts in the morning, right, Shirley?
On their way to work.
Yes, or in the shower.
Or in the shower.
While they do their workouts. Today we're doing a What You Doin'. It's a special edition where we're going to talk about specifically Netflix shows and a movie. We have three items we're going to talk about that we have watched in the recent past. So we thought that this would be a great way to do a new What You Doin'. Instead of focusing on a little bit of everything, we're going to focus on the things we've actually been doing because we haven't been playing a lot of games or listening to a lot of podcasts or reading a lot of books. So, whatever. We'll cover what we are doing, and it still works. So this is a Netflix edition. Two shows we're going to talk about in a movie. Two shows are Altered Carbon, which is a sci-fi movie set in the future sometime. I don't think they ever give us a year. And then a comedy, I don't know, whatever that is, Everything Sucks, set in 1996?
1990,
You're the one that's supposed to have this up, and you were clicking on stuff, weren't you?
I was looking at the cast.
You were like, what do I need to do? Just have it up. Okay, I'll click on everything else.
Where's the description?
I don't know.
It doesn't say. It just says, in the 1990s, Oregon, members of a high school AV club clash with the drama club.
Yeah, it is set in 1990s Oregon.
That's a dramaful description.
Yeah. And then the third thing is Cloverfield Paradox, which was originally on our movie draft for the winter and then went straight to Netflix the day after the Super Bowl.
Oh, was that supposed to release in theaters?
Poor Phil.
No. Poor Phil.
So let's start with Altered Carbon.
Oh my God.
Altered Carbon, the main character is Joel Kinnaman, playing Takashi Kovacs, or Kovacs.
Kovacs.
It's spelled Kovacs.
Well, that's,
I know. But we also get James Purfoy and Martha Higareda.
Whoa.
And Chris Connor, and so there are a lot of great, There's a great cast here. So basically, this is set in the future where they have learned to take the consciousness of a person and move it from body to body, what they call sleeves. So your physical body is no longer anywhere near as important as it used to be.
Right.
Other than you want one. And it allows for a lot of strange, like, body-to-body experiences. We're going to try and keep this mostly spoiler-free for where it goes, but this is a 10-episode series, so there's a lot to cover
right here.
So let's talk about that. It's a 10-episode series, about an hour long each.
Yep.
I would say it's a sci-fi cop drama? I mean, it's like an investigation-y
thing. I would, like, when I think of it and while we were watching it, I was like, gosh, what is this like? And the more that we watched it, I was like, this is like Blade Runner and Numbers and CSI
reminded me of
Criminal Minds,
right?
And, you know, all mashed together. And
so it's a little bit of a private investigator kind of deal. There's some cop stuff going on, but basically the story revolves around an envoy, which was this I don't want to say terrorist group because that's what they got labeled, but they were a separatist group within the protectorate that was trying to change how things were. And
the they believed in a normal lifespan.
Right, right. And they were wiped out, and Takashi Kovacs is the last of the
envoys,
and he had actually been put on
ice.
He had been put in jail, essentially. By when you get put in jail, they just take your consciousness and put it away. So you are, for however long you're going to jail, you don't have a sleeve and you have no consciousness. You just exist without knowledge or
which
sense.
Is really weird, because then that brings up like the whole biological aspect of, you know, we have this consciousness. Are we aware of,
right,
because we don't have the synapses and the you know, the brain as an organ, and while they're in those little discs, you know, are they aware of anything?
Yeah. It so he gets brought back by one of the super rich. They call them the Meths or the Methuselahs.
The Methuselahs, yeah.
Who have lived for hundreds of years.
They call them the Meths. And when you first hear it, that's how they address them. So you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to have a bunch of people on methamphetamines. It's going to be awesome.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of drugs in this, but it's a little different. So we get introduced to this very futuristic world. Lots of stuff going on. A lot.
A ton.
Some of it's just
almost,
some of it's like secondary plot. Some of it isn't even plot. It's just, this is the world that they live in. And then some things you're like, well, this is just the world they live in. And then they use it later in the story as a way to further what's going on. So Takashi is tracking down the murderer of Jane Purfoy's character. I just closed it. That's super helpful, right?
I don't remember his character's name either.
it's Lawrence Bancroft.
Bancroft. And I was going to say Bennington, but
so
I knew that
Lawrence
was wrong.
Lawrence brought Takashi Kovacs out of storage to track down his own murderer, because he had his sleeve had been killed.
Right.
But I guess the Meths have backups every however long. And
yeah,
his
they
was
have cloned backups, which, you know, the
well, they're backed up to
go,
a satellite, and then they can download that into a clone body.
Right.
And cloning is very expensive, and multiple clones is very expensive, but they don't care. The Bancrofts don't care.
Right. Well, the Methuselahs don't care.
Right. The Bancrofts are really the main Methuselah family we meet. We interact with some of the other ones, but we don't meet them and get to know
right.
them. So we see Bancroft ask Kovacs to track down his killer. In doing so, Kovacs gets a sidekick, Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh my God!
He actually runs a hotel that is
it's called the Raven.
The Raven. It's a virtual reality hotel.
Right.
But no one uses it anymore because they've fallen out of favor. But they're still around, and so.
Well, it's not fallen out of favor. It's just like another fad. It's gone.
Right.
His is gone by the wayside.
So Poe is phenomenal. I like, my favorite character in the story is Poe. And so Poe kind of helps him learn about the world, while he goes through it. Poe is played by Chris Connor. I don't know what else I've seen Chris Connor in, honestly.
We said that we saw him in a couple things when you looked him up the first time.
Yeah. I mean, he was the voice of Frank in the SpongeBob movie. I mean, that's important, right? But he has been in, like, The Colony and Longmire, American Horror Story. He was in 6 episodes of that.
Oh, maybe that's where I've seen him before.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's...
Which American Horror Story?
I don't know. It says 2016.
Oh.
I don't know what series that is. Anyway, so...
been 2 years ago.
You know, he gets Poe, and Poe kind of helps him understand the world a little bit more. And then he starts this weird feuding with a cop that there's more to it than that. Her name is Kristen Ortega. She's played by Martha Higuereta. And there's a lot of back and forth between them. And it develops over time, and we get to see this larger world and a lot more stuff going on. And no real understanding of how everything ties together, because there's a ton of things that are going on that don't necessarily tie together or make sense, but they all get pulled in.
Right.
And Kovacs ends up with a little cadre of people assisting them, assisting him specifically to go after the big bad in the show, which I don't want to reveal because that is a big spoiler. Yeah.
Which, as we go through the series, you find out why he's not going this alone.
Right, right.
You know, I don't know how much you want to go into that. But what I found interesting, even up to the second or third episode, I found it really interesting that there was cultural awareness. Like, what is her name? Christina Ortega.
Yeah.
Her family was very Latino. And they brought that out. Like, they brought that whole culture into the show.
There's a lot of multilingual people.
Right.
A lot of it. Like they switch back and forth between English and other languages.
And three or four other languages.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very... I think it brings an aspect to the show where, you know, we just didn't go into this... We are going to serve all of our vices. We also still became global and we became educated.
It reminded me very much of Firefly, that there was this intermingling of cultures and you saw it back and forth. I think it was more robust here.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But, you know, and one of the things that we see a lot of is there are these people that believe that once you die, you can't be brought back. You shouldn't be brought back.
You shouldn't be, right.
And they're coded to be, what is it, non-reskinned or unskinnable?
You cannot spin back up.
Yeah, so you can't spin them back up, which Ortega's family is all about because they're Catholic and the Catholic Church has decided that once you die, that's it. And bring you back is a mortal sin.
It doesn't matter if you're a murderer. You cannot. Right. Usually in most murder cases, what they do is they spin you back up so that you can
testify against your murder. And as long as you're not shot in the stack, which is at the, like, it's at the base of your neck, or shot directly in the head, you can be spun back up.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, the stack is where your consciousness is held.
That's a good point, I guess. So we get to see these movements where these people are very much against the stacks and spinning people back up. And we get to see how that applies. But then we get to see Ortega's family get together for, was it All Hallows Eve? Day of the Dead? It was Day of the Dead. And Ortega got her grandmother, who wasn't coded to not be spun back up.
Right.
Put her in this
amazing
beefy Russian drug dealer.
Right. All tatted up and... And the thing is, like, this actor, I want to find him.
Yeah, he was great.
Who the heck was this guy?
But we get to see that where we see actors and actresses playing opposite their sex.
Right.
Opposite their body's sex.
Maybe because in the very beginning when he is first brought back or woken up, or spun up, however you want to say it, there is a little child that gets brought back, but she's put into this, like, 60-70-year-old body, and the facial expressions on this woman, like, is like, I don't understand, like, there's no comprehension, which, you know, you feel the emotion of the confusion of that child and the confusion and anger of the family, because I guess that child was supposed to be put into her real body and they lost. I guess the police force had been losing bodies.
Yeah, that was part of it. And then it was also when the government gives you a body, it's whatever body they have. Yeah.
So reallocation or something like that. But
I am not seeing him right off, but I'm sure he's not all tatted up like that either. But we also, real quick, get Matt Frewer in this, who was Max Headroom.
Yes.
He plays Carnage, and he's actually really good in it. There's not anybody in this that wasn't, like, fully in their role and solid in what they were doing.
Exactly.
I was very impressed and happy with the cast.
Oh, and Ava. Oh, my God. That guy was just...
Yeah, the guy... So one of the guys... One of the actors ends up playing...
Oh, his name is Matt Bedell.
No, that's Dimitri. That's a different guy.
No.
You're right. Yeah.
So, I mean, his facial expressions And, like, he brought her to life. You could see her come to life in him. And he just did an amazing job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Alter Carbon is 10 episodes, about an hour each. So, you're looking at 10 hours of your time. This is a Netflix original. When I have talked about it recently, I've heard the, well, is it like Bright? This is not like Bright. Bright was
a movie.
Bright was a movie, but it was also, it had some B movie feel to it where things were a little off and a little weird.
Right.
This is much more in depth. They have story building. They have world building. They have
the
depth.
Environment is amazing.
Yeah. The environment is phenomenal. There's a lot going on. And there are plots within plots and a lot of twisting and turning. If you don't like that kind of thing, this reminds me in some ways of True Detective, where there are things going on. And actually, there's
Fifth Element.
Yeah, there's some taste of Fifth Element and
Blade
Valerian,
Runner.
And yeah. the city of a Thousand Suns. With
a little bit.
But there's a lot going on here, and there are plots within plots, and they twist a lot. So if that's not your thing, I don't know that this is the right for you, but. If you like a little bit of sci-fi, if you like a little bit of cop drama and some investigation stuff, this is it. Because there's a mystery here and it gets unraveled. And honestly, until we got to almost the
right.
Well, I guess episode 9 I knew what was going on, but they used episode 10 to wrap up a bunch of stuff.
Right.
It was solid.
But until he explained everything
right.
Detail to detail, I was just like, no way, that was that too?
And it's all there. It's
right.
all there. You just don't see it, which is great. I think that was phenomenal.
Yeah. They use camouflage. I'm not gonna, camouflage is what came to mind. They use diversions.
Misdirections.
Very well.
They tell you things that are important, but they do it in a this is just a background thing and not unimportant.
Right.
And then end up using it later. It's all really, really good. I for Alter Carbon, out of 5 re-sleeves, how many re-sleeves do you get it?
Oh, dude, totally 5.
Okay. I give it a 4.5.
I really love this one. It's something that I would definitely go back and watch again.
I give it a 4.5 only because I know that there can be a second season, and I'm very disappointed that the main actor probably will not be the main actor again.
Well, I mean, I was wondering how they would do that because...
Don't spoil anything.
No, I won't. Because I watched Dark, which was a Netflix
sure.
original. And it was just one season. And so was Amazing Grace or something
This
Grace.
Was based on a book series. And there are 2 or 3 more books.
Ah,
and
gotcha.
The next book...
I didn't do my research.
The next book, The Sleeve for Kovach, is different.
Yeah.
So, we lose the actor. But the actor, I thought, for Kovach was really, really good. I really liked him.
They're going to have... Because, you know,
uh-huh.
the thing at the end was happening. So, how are they going to explain... They're
we'll
going to have to explain a re-sleeve.
We'll see. Yeah.
Anyway.
So,
that will be disappointing.
So, yeah. It's very much worth it. James Purfoy is great. Joel Kinnaman is the main character. And I was very impressed with him.
Haley Law, Lizzie... Oh
yeah,
my gosh,
was really
she blew
great.
It away.
Oh, I forgot that Joel Kinnaman was Rick Flagg in Suicide Squad and RoboCop in RoboCop.
That's where I've seen him.
Now I want to kind of see RoboCop. He was also in House of Cards.
Oh, I haven't watched
Yeah,
that,
I know.
So.
All right, so that's a solid review for that particular show. Let's move on to... The other one.
Everything sucks.
That you have pulled up, right?
Yes, I do.
So tell me, who stars in Everything Sucks?
What the heck just happened? Hold on.
You went to go look at another thing and lost
no.
it?
There it is. God. All right. Everything Sucks. If you grew up in the 90s or even the 80s, you will totally love this show. It's about a group of kids, freshmen... And there are some older...
it's about high school kids, because they range the whole, all 4 years.
But it's about a group of high school kids that are going into high school. They're freshmen. I think it's 1994.
It's 96.
I don't know.
It's 96 because it's the year before I started high school.
And And it's just about their experience going into high school.
It's for that year. It's about the culture in the 90s, which is very solid. I mean, we see a Blockbuster video in this series, for God's
right.
sake. In a very small, kind of unexciting town called Boring, Oregon, which is a real place right outside of Portland. And it's about these three guys coming into high school and joining the AV club because you have to do something
right
after school, or before school, I guess. And then what results from that because of the plot and how the movie they make gets made. And then there's a love story between two of their parents. One is a principal and the other one's a flight attendant.
Yes.
And, very great. These are short, 30-ish minutes.
Right.
Because
the first one was like, what, 20 minutes? The first 24? Two?
24? Yeah. They were really rather short.
And we were like, what? Where's the rest of it?
These are your typical, like, I feel like this was put together for a regular channel, like a mm-hmm. you know, your ABCs or whatever, and then it ended up on Netflix for whatever reason. But we end up with, your 24 to 28-minute episodes. There are 10 of them, and it goes by fast. I think we watched this in 2 days.
Yes, we did.
Solid storytelling. I will say this. Every one of the kid actors is about the right age for what they're playing. They're within a year. So, the main character is played by Jahid Diallo Winston. He plays Luke O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing 14, and he is 14.
Oh, that's awesome.
The other main character is Peyton Kennedy playing Kate Messner, and she is 15 playing 15. Like, they are right on top of their ages. Some of the older kids are a little bit older. The guy playing Oliver, I think, was 19 when he played this, but that's close enough.
Right.
They really worked hard on getting kid actors to play kids and then gave us really good performances. The only awkward performances were awkward on purpose.
Right.
And that was the character. Phenomenal cast. I was very happy with the cast. And a lot of these guys are, like, unknown. They haven't done much of anything other than this. We see some regular high school bullying drama stuff.
Right.
That leads to character growth and actual change, which was a little unrealistic. I didn't ever see that stuff in high school, but they worked really hard for the characters to become
right.
real people and not just be.
And I think what they tried to do here, I mean, I don't know, you know, different demographics in different cities and towns and places like that. I mean, you come from a small town, there's maybe I'm just hoping for the best. You know, there's a little more compassion because you have, like, a village, raised by a village kind of mentality.
Right, right.
And I feel like, the main drama girl, what the heck is her name?
Jessica Betts? No, that wasn't Jessica Betts. That was...
Is it Emmeline?
Yeah, Emmeline.
Emmeline. I feel like the way that her character developed, it could have gone a totally different way.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been programmed by most, you know, horror shows or dramas from nowadays, because I kept waiting for the table to turn.
Yeah.
Like, I kept waiting for her to turn. And then when she didn't, and at the end, I was just like, okay, so where's the video recorder or the tape recorder or,
right.
you know, whatever that is going to turn into this, you know, all-out quote-unquote scandal for high school kids.
Yeah.
But it never did. So I feel like that sense of a development... That development was a sense of hope for the show. Like, this is the way we want to remember what the 90s were like.
Yeah. It's fun. It's enjoyable. There are some growth moments. There are some serious moments. It deals with being homosexual in the 90s and that it was not okay then.
Mm-hmm.
It's not overt in the hatred, but there's a lot of worry about the reveal of one of the characters as a lesbian and what that means, and then finding camaraderie because of that.
Right. And it also, it also deals with, like, the awkwardness of growing up.
It does.
Because you get, like, what, twice you get the birds and the bees talk,
yeah,
and
yeah,
the kids are just like, no, 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 this is not happening. I'm not listening to you.
Yeah.
Can we not talk about this? So
overall, the series is short, sweet, and to the point.
It's really good.
I think it was maybe 4.5-5 hours for the whole thing.
Right.
Could
have been a miniseries.
There were some things that I felt were unrealistic, but only in the unrealistic part that, like, we had a TV department. They would never have let us check out any of the cameras. They were far too expensive.
Right.
So that was a little weird, but that it helped along the plot, so it wasn't that bad. I can hand wave a little bit of that, but the music is very time-centric, ties very much into what's going on, feels very right.
The music right.
I think there's a lot in this series that's solid, and I don't think this is the best comedy series out there, but it's enjoyable, and it's fun, and it's light, and the things it's serious about, it does well. I think it's great.
Yep, definitely.
So out of five gender altering asteroid fields, which you'll get if you watch it, out of five, what do you give it?
I give it a solid 3.5-4.
Okay, yeah, I give it a solid 4. This is, I think, it's totally worth watching.
Right.
It's a little bit of team drama, but in the backdrop of that's the backdrop for this comedy.
Right.
And it doesn't get too heavy handed where I started to be angry at the characters. I just accepted that they were being jerks because they were high school kids, and high school kids are jerks sometimes.
Yep.
Overall,
it's all part of the evolution.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, it's pretty solid. You'll notice we kind of sped through that one a little bit. That one was honestly there's a lot going on in that one that.
But the thing is, it's mostly cut and dry. It's all about, you know, growing up and being in high school and, you know, the awkwardness that all involves, plus the complication of trying to find out who you are in regards to not necessarily sexually, but, you know, trying to find out who you are and what
as
type
a person.
Of
yeah,
as
yeah.
a person and what type of person that you'll end up loving as you grow older. So yeah, there's, you know, you have all that complicated growing up drama, but it's also got its very comical moments.
Absolutely. And the last thing we're going to talk about is Cloverfield Paradox.
Whoa.
This was a movie that was supposed to come out in the theaters.
I did not know that.
And it's in the winter movie draft, and somehow it got yanked, and then that release got pushed because they're putting out a fourth Cloverfield movie. This one is set in space on a space station where they're trying to fire up a superconductor to provide energy in an energy crisis world.
Literally, they say that the Earth has, what, months? Humanity has months to live.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
There's already wars starting because of the energy crisis and that kind of stuff.
Energy crisis and resource. I don't know the word.
So, the world is at a very strong tipping point. And so we get these characters in space that are trying to fire up this thing and for it to succeed. They spend, over a year up there?
Yeah, finally, they only have so many times that they can fire it off.
Yeah, because then they'll be out of the fuel for it.
Yeah, and then so it starts counting down. As it goes through the show, you see it start count down the days through the times that they're firing it off. And I can't recall. I just remember seeing it and I'm like, oh my gosh, they've been up there for like 2 or 3 years.
It was like 385. It was just over a year because
it was just over a year.
It was less than two is what I remember.
Okay.
But they eventually fired up and then it gets going and then something goes wrong. And then they notice that the Earth is missing and things are wrong and everything's weird and they can't figure out where they're at.
Right.
So they deal with the crisis of that, and without getting into the spoilers for what happened there, they have to deal with that crisis while other things are happening. Strange phenomena on the ship. Somebody's caught in the wall that wasn't on the on the station. Somebody's caught in the wall that wasn't there to begin with. Somebody's arm gets cut off in a wall because the wall eats it, and then his arm is just kind of crawling around other places.
Right.
There is a lot of weird body horror stuff. This movie reminded me in some ways of Life that we just watched, like, what, 2 months ago?
I don't like...
Do you not remember Life?
No, I remember Life, but it was something that was within the environment. You know, it was a creature that was there. Here, they're all battling
right,
the
but they're
unknown.
But they're also stranded and isolated in space, just like in Life, where they
right.
can't do anything to change what's going on, and they don't have any options.
Right.
So yeah, the story progresses and things keep getting worse and worse. The cast is pretty solid. It's a lot of, I wouldn't say unknowns, but they're not big name actors and actresses.
Well, I mean, Daniel Brühl.
Well, yeah.
You think of him, he was in Winter Soldier, so.
No, he wasn't.
Which one is it?
He was in Civil War. You do that every time.
Every single time. That's because Bucky's in both of them.
Bucky's in all three of them. I'm just going to point that out.
Anyway.
He's also in Inglourious Bastards.
Oh, he was in Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah. More importantly.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, we get a good cast. I would honestly say he's the biggest known actor that I see on here. All the other ones are great.
Well, Donald Logue, he was in Blade. Also, he had his own TV series called Growing Up or...
Donald Logue?
Yeah.
Oh, Donald Logue. Yeah, but he's not a main character.
Right.
Okay, yeah. I mean, there are other supporting actors that are a little better known, but of the main 7 to 9, I mean, Simon Pegg's in this, for goodness sakes.
Like, for real?
Yeah, and Greg Grunberg.
Where the heck was Simon?
He was a voice. He was the radio voice.
Radio
so voice. The main cast is aren't big names. They do a really good job. They present the horror as it is in a believable way.
Right.
I think that there are some issues in the script on this one though. It's not as smooth as it could have been. And maybe it was the directing, but I don't think the script is perfect. I think the directing and the filmography was okay, but there's something that didn't quite make this a top tier movie.
Right.
And there's a reason it got pulled. And I'll be honest, there's a reason that this was not released in theaters, because it would not have done very well.
No, I don't think it would have done very well in theaters either.
But I also don't think it's a bad movie.
No.
I think it is of higher quality than some people are seeing Bright at.
Right.
And I'm only comparing it to Bright because it's sci-fi and it's Netflix. They're both Netflix originals. So, like, this has some solid stuff going on in it. The story from front to back is not bad. It's just not great. The acting is great. There's the one of the characters that we meet later in the movie, Jensen. The actress that plays her is phenomenal. I was very impressed with her.
She looks somewhat familiar too, but I don't know what else she's
She looks
been
like
in.
That one lady from that thing. She was Gabriel in Constantine. Tilda Swinton.
Yeah,
she looks a little bit like Tilda Swinton.
I think
she's got kind of a little bit of a gaunt face and the striking blonde hair, kind of pulls her out like that. But overall, it's not a bad movie. I've seen some rough reviews of it, and I don't think it's nearly as bad as people are giving it reviews of. It's definitely not as good as 10 Cloverfield Lane. I thought that movie was amazing.
You know,
John Goodman's terrifying in that movie.
He is a bit, but I don't know. I guess I like a larger cast and there was more interaction.
Yeah,
I
can
see
that.
More to follow here.
Yeah.
So I definitely like this better than I like 10 Cloverfield Lane.
And then this is
Inner Space.
I don't like shaky cam. Otherwise, I think the original Cloverfield movie is fine. They're doing something where they're trying to explain everything, and I'm not quite sure what it is across these three movies. This movie explains why there are monsters. We just don't deal with them much.
Right.
10 Cloverfield Lane says there are monsters out there. Here's how we hide from them. And Cloverfield says, look at that monster over there.
Right.
So the Cloverfield, it does fit within the Cloverfield universe, I guess. It fits within the Cloverfield story arc, but they're definitely not super attached, other than there's a through line.
Other than the names are the same.
Well, I mean, the monsters are all, especially in Cloverfield, or 10 Cloverfield Lane in this one, the monsters are always obscured, and you don't see, like...
Except for the end.
Right.
That was true. Terrifying.
Yeah.
And something that is different between 10 Cloverfield Lane and the Paradox and then the first one is that the monsters in... Well, see, I don't know. Like, how much can I spoil
it? Just don't spoil it. Yeah.
It's like the monsters insinuated too because of when he walks up to that house are like rather huge, large.
Yeah.
But in 10 Cloverfield Lane...
They were large too. Will we watch it? I would be happy to rewatch that movie.
Okay. Will we watch it? But it was more based on aliens. There were... The ships.
Were they aliens, though, or were they from somewhere else?
I don't know.
Out of 5 disembodied crawling hands, what do you give this movie?
That was amazing. I give it a solid 4. I really liked it. The script was, you know, a little bit.
There's something off here, though, right? There's something that's not making this a great movie.
Right, right.
And I can't tell quite what it is.
There's something that... Whatever it is, it definitely would have tanked in the theaters.
Yeah, I give this a solid 3.5. I think
maybe
it's,
it just doesn't have a hook.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I don't mind watching it on Netflix. I didn't go pay $10 a ticket to see this movie.
Right.
I paid for my Netflix subscription, and it's there.
Yep.
So for that, this is fine. But I think it's a 3.5. I think there's something missing. I can't wait to see the actress for Jensen play in more stuff. I think that I will be very happy to see her. I'm looking her up real quick because I don't remember her name. Her name is Elizabeth Debicki. And if anything that she's going to be in, I'm going to definitely want to see because she was phenomenal. But yeah, I think this is a good movie. It's just not great and definitely worth checking out, though.
Yes,
especially if
definitely.
You already have Netflix, nothing's slowing you down. It's just going to be.
Oh yeah.
Was it a full 2 hours? I don't remember it being a full. Maybe it was. Maybe it was just over 2 hours.
I feel like it was over 2 hours.
It says hour 42. So yeah, if you want to, you know, if you 102 minutes doesn't sound that bad to you, it's not that bad. It's worth watching.
If you like sci-fi,
space horror, yeah.
Mystery, and I mean, I feel like it had a little bit of Cthulhu in there.
Yeah, it does. Like, the Cloverfield over arc is a little bit of Cthulhu.
So.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us today, tonight, tomorrow, in the morning, here on the Nerds Domain podcast. Don't forget, we have other podcasts. Specifically, we have Masks of Nyarlathotep that's been coming out pretty regularly for a while. We have our friends in Nerds Domain South, Passion Nerdly. They are doing a couple of podcasts related to gaming, Tome Travelers and Dice Voyeurs. They're coming out regularly as well. You should definitely check all those out. You can find all those by going to nerdsdom.com and checking them out there. Otherwise, we will talk to you guys real soon.
And that will do us tonight on the Nerds Domain podcast. Remember, you can email us at nerdsdomain@gmail.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter at facebook.com/nerdsdomain and twitter.com/nerdsdomain. You can also check out our site at nerdsdom.com. Be sure to sign up for the newsletter while you're there. You can head over to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. We want to thank Josh Shop for the music. And don't forget to support us at patreon.com/nerdsdomain or check out our t-shirts over at tpublic.com/users/nerdsdomain. Have a great night!